Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Julio Diaz hosts the show, Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. And he founded and hosts the Pensacola Movie Club, which you can follow them on Facebook and get together with them and watch movies and talk about them. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
So we have a busy week this week. We're going to try to get to as much as we can. But since we skipped last week, let's just do a brief Deadpool Wolverine. I thought it was fantastic, incredibly satisfying. Without giving any spoilers, what would you say?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I think it is very much a very fun movie, and this is definitely one for the fans. There is a lot of fan service in it. I'm actually going to wait one more week to talk about it in depth on Let's Go Pensacola, but next week's show we're going to plan to go into deep detail, because there's a lot that I hope people haven't been spoiled on.
Right.
But that I definitely want to talk about in depth.
No, I totally agree. And the one thing I would say is, if you do go watch it, watch one and two, like rewatch one and two, so it's fresh in your brain. That'll definitely help you get more out of it when you watch this one. New this week, Trap.
Yeah, they should have called this one Clap Trap. This is the latest from M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, not another misfire.
Yeah, it's a really good concept too. When I saw the trailers for this, I was like, okay, that has potential. So this middle-aged guy played by Josh Hartnett takes his teen daughter to this concert by Lady Raven, who's like, you know, like a Taylor Swift figure in this world. She's a singer. She's really popular. All the little girls love her. And well, it turns out that this concert has been taken over by the FBI as a means of catching a serial killer who is loose in the Philadelphia area.
Okay.
Who happens to be Josh Hartnett's character.
I see. Okay.
So it's that, you know, the whole thing is the concert's a trap for him, but it goes on forever and it becomes more and more convoluted. And there's stuff that I can excuse that I know bothers me that won't bother normal people, because they don't know how concerts actually work. They've never been backstage. They don't know how venues
okay.
work.
You
know,
gotcha.
I have experience with these things. But then there's just stuff that's just completely stupid. And it's a shame, because like everybody in this movie is good. Like the acting is all good. But it's just so incredibly stupid.
Okay. How about just because we got so many of them to try to get to, Harold and the Purple Crayon?
Yeah. So, you know, based in part on the famous children's book that I think we all read when we were growing up. And if you remember this book at all, you remember this is like a book for preschoolers. There's not a lot of substance.
I don't know this book. This book rings no bells for me whatsoever.
Oh, wow. I can't believe you don't know this book. Yeah. You know, it's a book about a little kid with a purple crayon that can draw anything he wants, and his imagination brings it to life.
Oh, that does sound familiar, though. But okay, all right. Anyway, so is it presented on the screen?
Well, so in this movie version, Harold has drawn himself out of the book and is an adult played by Zachary Levi.
Of course.
You know, he's now using his purple crayon in the real world, and, you know, hilarity supposedly ensues. But according to the reviews, not much hilarity actually ensues.
Oh, that's too bad.
Running about 35% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Fabulous Four?
Even worse reviews on this one, running in the low 20s on Rotten Tomatoes, which should have been a good cast. Susan Sarandon, Bette Midler, Shirley Ralph, and Megan Mullally. This is another one of those films for older ladies where, you know, the friends all come together at one of their weddings, and there's romance, and there's blah, blah, blah. But apparently not very well executed.
Yeah, we'll take a chance on movies in the 40s. We will not watch a movie at 25%. We will definitely, or 20%. The Firing Squad?
Faith-based film about the three men who discover Christianity while they're in an Indonesian prison.
Yeah.
Not screened for critics. When your main star is Kevin Sorbo,
I gotcha.
Yeah, but you also have Cuba Gooding Jr. in this, which kind of just shows how kind of in a way how far he's fallen, because you know this is an Oscar winner who can't get work anymore because of his personal foibles. So he's sentenced to these films
well,
that don't
the people who love them love them, and it's just not really for everybody, which is why they don't even bother screening it for clinics.
And generally not well critically respected.
Yeah, agreed. As a member of the category to whom they're directed, agreed. So, coup, C-O-U-P, like an overturning of an elected leader.
Yeah, this is kind of a class war comedy. There's a grifter played by, oh gosh, I'm going to forget which one of the SARS guards it is.
They're interchangeable.
One of the SARS guard family. He's this grifter who poses as a chef in a wealthy house and then convinces the staff to, kind of eject the owners and take over the mansion, but then he becomes the problem.
He takes on the role, right. Okay.
Kind of like Animal Farm in a sense, but getting good reviews on this one now, running 82% on Rotten.
Okay, all right. And then I can't believe we're going to actually get to them, but let's do it quickly. Kneecap?
So this is the 8 Mile of Irish rap, apparently. This is a biopic about an Irish rap group who played themselves in the film and who, in Ireland are considered quite controversial and quite critically well-regarded because they rap in Irish rather than rapping in English.
I see.
And they kind of really stand up for the Irish and that sort of thing. But great reviews on this one, 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, very good. What are we going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
Cuckoo is coming out, which is a horror film that I've been very, very much looking forward to. It looks fantastic, so we're looking forward to checking that one out.
And please don't miss Deadpool and Wolverine. It's fantastic. But it is R-rated, so if content bothers you, then avoid it. Julio Diaz, he hosts Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock on News Radio and also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, we'll talk to you next week. As always, thank you for the time.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
All right, 8:16 here on News Radio 92.3. And if you wonder how somebody who can be 40 years in broadcasting covering sports can lose it all over one comment at the Olympics, coming up in the Transgressors, Austin's got traffic on the fives.
Looking at the roads here. Well, first of all, where are my manners? This traffic update is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. You can call them today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Looking at the roads here, we just had some issues on Highway 29 if you were traveling southbound towards Burgess Road, but those are seemingly clearing up. So wherever you may be on the roads, if you're having problems, they shouldn't hold you up for too long. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
People ask me almost every day, why are you doing this? This is Steve Stroberger. The answer is, it's time for a change. Our county commissioners are making decisions that benefit themselves, not the citizens of this county. Change, that would mean meetings open for voters' input. Decisions not predetermined by the commission before the vote. Yes, we need change. I'm Steve Stroberger. Now I would be honored to serve you, and I humbly ask for your vote.
Paid political advertisement by Steve Stroberger, Republican for County Commissioner, District 1.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools. Under my leadership, we have expanded our honors, advanced placement, and dual enrollment classes, started a middle school sports program, middle and high school orchestra program, girls' beach volleyball program, and Santa Rosa is now a Space Florida Space Academy school district. Let's continue to expand the opportunities for our students. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Bob Ballard, the Eurosport announcer who has been reporting on the Olympics for 4 decades after his disgusting, repulsive, offensive, hateful, contemptible, and completely evil comment about the gold medal-winning Australian women's 4x100-meter freestyle relay team. Here it is, and I warn you, it's strong stuff.
Well, the women just finishing off. You know what women like, hanging around, you know, doing the makeup.
Outrageous, Bob. Some of the men are doing that as well.
They're doing the makeup.
Yeah.
In case this villainously horrid comment went by too fast for you to hear it properly, what he said was that the four women were, quote, finishing up, you know what women are like, hanging around, doing their makeup. Well, if that is not a clear and unquestionable level 6 act of hate speech, I don't even know what one is anymore. Obviously, he was fired for this flagrant macroaggression, and rightly so. And the fact that his co-announcer seemed to giggle as she called his absurdly sexist speech violence outrageous should highlight the problem here. He thought he was making a joke. But in this day and age, are we seriously supposed to look the other way when a man humiliates an entire gender with such callous flippancy? As the fifth strong suggestion instructs us, no jokes, not ever, humor is hate. Yes, humor is always the tool of the microaggressor, the anti-inclusionist, and the patriarchalist. So clearly, a chauvinist jape of this sort must swiftly be punished. However, and I do note this with some internal anxiety, we should not forget that Bob Ballard is gay. And even though his comment was super-duper horrible, generally when gay men are being flippant, sarcastic, and saucy, we give them a pass. After all, asking a gay man to restrain his genetic impertinence is itself a heteronormative act of oppression. Gay men are snarky. It's science. So we find ourselves at a conundrum. Do we protect the gay misogynist or the woman and women he misogynized? But here we see our answer. Praise Gaia! Only straight men can be misogynist because only men who are attracted to women can hate them. Since Bob Ballard is gay and therefore not attracted to women, he can't hate them and therefore cannot commit misogyny against them no matter what he says. Problem solved! Gay men like Bob Ballard don't even need to apologize, and he should be reinstated immediately precisely because he was not a woman-hating straight man making the comment. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, we announce the cancellation of all those who have criticized Vice President and hopefully the next president, Kamala Harris, for her recent dialect affectation at a rally for black voters in Atlanta.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
You see, some hard-hearted anti-progressives have dared to say that Queen Kamala, the first of her name, should not be allowed to speak in what is clearly not her natural dialect, but one that was put on during the same rally which featured delightful and wholesome entertainment from the revered lyricist and family values advocate Megan Thee Stallion. They're saying that she engaged in black speak or cultural appropriation by faking an accent which is blacker than her normal speaking style. But again, her critics get everything wrong. As a proud black woman, Queen Kamala is entitled to speak however she wants, as blackly as she wants, in any circumstance she wants, because an African-American woman, by definition, cannot ever be guilty of cultural or dialectical appropriation of her own race's culture or dialects. This is merely being relatable and blending in, something which any woman of color like her is always allowed to do. In fact, we should remind you that even a white woman who is properly certified as a woke ally is also entitled to put on a fake dialect for the purpose of being relatable. That's why Her Almost Highness Princess Hillary who we should not forget was married to Bill Clinton, duly dubbed the first black president by no less a dignitary than Toni Morrison, was never charged with any language crimes for her affectations. So when Princess Hillary, almost the first of her name, said,
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from.
It was perfectly acceptable, despite the attacks by conservative critics. So for all those who dared criticize either member of the Royal Democrat family, we remind you, if you're going to come at the Queen, you best not miss. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our most effusive praise for Olympics opening ceremony director Thomas Jolly, lesbian activist and female Christ portrayer Barbara Butch, and every other person of holy gender fluidity who was involved with the brilliant Last Supper on the Seine fashion spectacle. This incident was a smashing success. First, it instantly produced precisely the desired response from those easily triggered American Christians who rage-tweeted their hyperventilated opposition of the performance piece. Anytime you can tempt Christians into wrath, you've already won by pushing them out of their joy and peace. Second, for the brilliantly clever gaslighting that followed when Jolly and the French organizers pretended that the scene had nothing to do with the Last Supper but was instead based on, variously, Dionysus or the obscure Dutch artist Jan van Biljert's equally obscure painting, The Feast of the Gods. What a brilliant way to first provoke the Christians and then make them doubt they were seeing what was so clearly the intended mockery of Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting. He made them doubt their lying eyes. Third, since Jolly's overall goal for the opening ceremonies was to be fully inclusive, we must applaud him for his success. From prelude to a threesome, to decapitated head in song with flames and metal, to the artistic climax of the holy acronym string fashion show, it was a masterpiece of inclusion. In fact, excluding one and only one group, conservative Christians. But of course, as we all know, conservative Christians are not an officially recognized protected category within the rainbow paradigm of diversity, equity, and inclusion. In fact, they are the one disprotected category, toward whom any amount of satire, criticism, mockery, or othering is not only allowed, but required by our order. So in one coup de grace, the collective creative team managed to enrage Christians, gaslight Christians, and marginalize Christians. Our own version of the Holy Trinity. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Corn for Flakes. Foodstuffs made from the highest quality, genuine non-kernel corn parts and designed exclusively for those of us who are overcommitted to sustainable, climate-conscious, and cruelty-free nutrition. Celebrating our holy granola weirdness, Corn for Flakes produces a variety of barely edible treats from corn cob cakes to corn husk Hot Pockets and even corn stalk suckers, now an original and extra original flavor, proving that no food is too tasteless to satisfy our deep-seated need to virtue signal through eating and posting it on the gram. Corn for Flakes, you really can't taste the virtue at all.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
I did have a chance to try some of those extra original, and they really are. Austin's got traffic on the fives.
This traffic update is brought to you by Frontier Motors. That's the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Looking at the roads here, not a ton going on. We did have some backups on Highway 29 that have since cleared out. So if you're dealing with any issues wherever you may be, they shouldn't hold you up for long. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Austin. By the way, you do such a great job and you're filling in for John. I really appreciate you helping us out.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden is reportedly considering U.S. defenses for Israel in the event of an attack by Iran. President Biden spoke on the phone yesterday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and said the U.S. would support Israel's defense against threats. Of course, Iran vowing to attack Israel in response to the recent assassination of a Hamas leader in Tehran. Senate Republicans blocking a tax package that would have expanded the child tax credit and extended business tax credits as well. The bill failed to advance in a procedural vote of 48-44, short of the 60 it needed to pass. And the Air Force says the catastrophic gearbox failure that caused that Osprey to crash off the coast of Japan last year, which killed 8 people. A report released yesterday indicated the pilot thought some of the warning signals may have been false alarms. That crash is the latest that's plagued the Osprey.
Yeah, I thought they blamed the gearbox failure and also the crew a little bit for their mistakes. So, you know.
A little bit, yeah.
But that, man, that platform has just had problems. But, I mean, they all do, you know. They're just, and I read a really interesting report one time kind of making the point that, you know, you hear about the problems and you think it's like the platform is very, but, you know, complex mechanical systems flying in the air and doing military things in adverse environments.
Right, and if you look at the total number of missions Ospreys have been on, it's
not really
margin.
Out of line with, you know, the Harrier or, you know, anything else really that you run. It's just, you know, these are dangerous things. I mean, they're just dangerous things. David, thank you so much for the update. 8:30 here on News Radio 92.3. If you missed it, we had the Tenant Commands earlier. Very interesting. The largest training command in the Navy. 15,000 to 17,000 people going through the Naval Air Technical Training Center every single year. You can catch that on the podcast page. Also, we talked to the commanding officer of the USS McCool. They got a tour of yesterday. We'll have more of that coming up next week. But that interview you can listen to on the podcast page also. NewsRadio923.com.
Fox News. I'm Therese Crowley. Post-isolation support in San Antonio for the three Americans freed in a complex prisoner swap with Russia. Former Marine Paul Whelan.
The FSB grabbed me, said I was a spy. I'm apparently a general in the Army, a secret agent for DIA. This is the nonsense narrative they came up with. They wouldn't let it go.
Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich also, and also Kermasheva, greeted by the president and VP at Joint Base Andrews. A Secret Service whistleblower tells Senator Josh Hawley acting director Ronald Rowe personally directed cuts to counter-surveillance and threat assessment before the Trump assassination attempt. The Secret Service preparing to respond. The July jobs report sending the markets tumbling. Only 114,000 jobs added. May and June revised down. Trade is now more worried about recession than the interest rate cut. America's listening to Fox.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. 83 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies this morning. We are still watching this tropical wave in the Atlantic. Whether it will become a tropical storm by the time it hits Florida is still up in the air. Hurricane specialist Dr. Jack Bevin with the National Hurricane Center says it's worth keeping an eye on
it. It's probably not going to be a catastrophic impact or anything like that, but yeah, there could be some issues, particularly with heavy rain. Heavy rain seems to be the main threat down here, but there could be some gusty winds as well, depending on how well-developed the system gets.
And this system is expected to enter the Gulf over the weekend. Escambia County officials say they're ready regardless of what happens. And Governor DeSantis issuing an emergency order ahead of the storm covering 54 counties. He said the storm could develop into a tropical depression over the weekend, and it could lead to heavy rainfall up to 12 inches possible over the next several days. Frontier Airlines making some cuts to their network of flights. A few of those could affect Pensacola travelers. They're cutting two Pensacola routes in just a couple of weeks, including flights between Pensacola and Cleveland. Those will end on August 11th, and flights between Pensacola and Philadelphia will end on August 12th. The airport here, though, not the only one affected. Frontier cutting 43 different routes across their network, and the most affected cities and airports are in Orlando and then, of course, Cleveland and Philadelphia. Boar's Head recalling 7 million more pounds of deli meat following those two listeria deaths, one in New Jersey, another in Illinois. Epidemiologist Dr. Marina Keller says bacteria can be more serious for at-risk people.
It can be as severe as meningitis-like presentation, where the patient has fever, they start to act funny, and, you know, start to lose consciousness.
And in addition to those two deaths, the CDC says at least 34 people have gotten sick now in 13 different states, nearly all hospitalized and ranged in age from 13 to 94. And this latest recall involving liverwurst, ham, bologna, and beef salami made it to a Boar's Head plant in Virginia. Now, the state's largest property insurance carrier is hoping for a rate increase. Citizens Property Insurance asking state regulators to approve a rate hike yesterday. The average policyholder, if this is approved, would see an increase of more than 13%. Citizens is backed by the state. They want to raise rates to encourage policyholders to move their plans to private companies and reduce the state's liability. Citizens now has over 1 million customers. They're hoping to be under 1 million by the end of the year. The NRA wants to overturn a Florida gun law. The National Rifle Association asking an appeals court this week to examine the law that bans anyone under 21 from buying rifles or other long guns. That law was passed 6 years ago after the deadly shooting at the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. The state has until the end of the month to respond to the NRA. And Brevard County man facing some charges after he apparently took it upon himself to deal with a nuisance alligator. Robert Collin arrested this week after a 9-foot gator was found tied to a fence in Cape Canaveral. The sheriff's office there says the 71-year-old lassoed the gator with a nylon rope and then tied it to a handrail on a fence. The gator ended up being euthanized. Collin told local news sources that the gator had been eating the turtles that he liked to feed as therapy for his heart condition. It's 8:35, and Austin's got our traffic on the fives.
This traffic update is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. They're family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Looking at the roads here, there doesn't appear to be too much going on at this time. We may have some backups here and there on Pensacola Boulevard and maybe some on Palafox Street if you're traveling northbound just past Fairfield Drive. Outside of that, though, there's not much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives. David?
It is going to be a hot and humid day today with the heat advisory in place. Temperatures near 97 degrees for your high, feeling like the triple digits. 30% chance of a stray sprinkle, most of us staying nice and sunny. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Saturday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 94. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it is 83 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 82 in Milton. Taking a look at our markets here at the opening bell today. The Dow is down 474 points at 39,873. S&P is down 91 points at 53,55. The NASDAQ down 446 points at 16,747. 10-year bond rate down a bit at 3.85% this morning. Gold price is up 27.70 at 25,08.50. Silver price is up 56 cents at 29.04, and Bitcoin up over 1,800 this morning. Senate Republicans are blocking a tax package that would have expanded the child tax credit and extended business tax credits. That bill didn't advance during a procedural vote yesterday. The vote was 48 to 44. It needed 60 to pass. The bipartisan tax bill passed the House earlier this year, but Republicans raised concerns over the cost. ExxonMobil reporting better than expected second quarter profits of $9.2 billion thanks to the acquisition of shale oil firm Pioneer Natural Resources. The numbers were pushed by record production in Guyana and the Permian Basin. And a U.S. appeals court blocking the Biden administration from reinstating net neutrality rules. That would prohibit internet service providers from slowing speeds or blocking content. It would also stop providers from blocking certain websites. During the Trump administration, the FCC argued the rules were unnecessary, but then last April, they voted to reinstate them. It's 8:37, your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
Oh, this news cycle is something, huh?
Dude, there's something new every single day.
Wow, and today, you know, expecting to talk more about this Secret Service director, how she needs to go, and all of a sudden...
You're fired, bum!
Well, she resigned.
Yeah, she resigned. Kimberly Cheadle, the now former head of the Secret Service, is stepping down.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays 11 till 2. Before Guy Benson. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependent.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, hop, the hibbit, hip, 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 hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That means it is the end of the week. It's Friday. We're getting ready to talk with a couple of friends here in studio with me. Today I have Blake Barkley, who has been in several times, and he started as an intern with us many, many years ago, and then he was our kind of on-the-scene representative at the RNC back in the day. Blake, good to have you back, sir. On your final, and you're leaving for UCLA Law School on Sunday, is that right?
Yep.
Hold on, we need to press this. One of the selectors is off there. I think it's that one. So, all right, try one more time, Blake.
Yep.
There you go. I blame the afternoon people. Austin.
Yeah, that was my bad. Typically, we're pretty perfect in the
afternoon. I know,
that
you
was
really
my
do a great
that was my
job.
Mess up there. My bad.
And then, of course, the community outreach pastor for Marcus Point Baptist Church, Craig Heinzman. Craig, welcome back.
What's up? How you doing?
Good to have
What's
you.
What's up, leadership Pensacola class?
Yeah, there you go.
They're coming in today. This is
are
first
they?
Yes,
yeah,
their opening ceremony or whatever opening day. Opening ceremony. It'd be cool if they walked in with like.
Speaking of opening ceremony, it'd be cool if they came in like that.
Well, not exactly like that.
Okay. I want to start there only because I know you're going to have a view. And I don't actually know your view.
Funny a lot, I don't, because I didn't watch it.
Oh.
I was like.
Well, this is a good topic then.
Yeah, I heard about it, but I was like, really? I just, at the end of the day, the explanation, I did read the explanation, which was not an apology in the least. It was kind of
and
like.
It turns out to be a lie, too. Yeah. They actually did target the Last Supper.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, no, it was a Greek thing. It's like, no, it wasn't. We all know it was. No, a single picture, we know it's not.
Right.
Two. It's really more like, we're sorry that you might have been offended, but we did what we want to do anyway, so tough stuff, Powderpuff. I just think it's weird.
I said on Monday and Tuesday, and still stand by, that Christians were dumb for overreacting, and that, yes, it's offensive, and it was meant to be, and it's an art show, and there's going to be stuff in art shows that you don't like, and I think you give them the satisfaction of overreacting. Like I said in Transgressors, that part is actually something that I believe. It doesn't make it okay, but... You know, there's a lot of stuff, again, in art, in the world, in France, there's going to be stuff that you disagree with. And the fact that you would think that it would cater to American conservative social values is kind of like, what were you expecting?
Well, I feel like the problem is also that there are dozens of majority Christian nations that are far more socially conservative than America.
Agreed.
And it's supposed to be the Olympics where people are coming together. And just the idea that you want to make it some aggressive political statement that insults, you know, the largest religion in the world is offensive and ridiculous.
Right.
And they would never do it to Islam, and we all know that.
That's what I was going
to
say.
The question, though, is would they not do it to standard. Islam because they're afraid of violence or because they respect Islam?
No, because Islam is a woke protected class. I'm sorry. That's just the bottom line is you can't make fun of it because if you do, then you're being, you know, racist or you're being, you know, whatever. Whereas you can make fun of Christianity all you want because, you know, we all hate those people, but, you know, we don't hate those people. And that's the thing.
Does that strike you as a problem for Christians or a virtue of Christians?
Well, I think it's just a promise. If you look at the Bible, says those who ascribe to the Bible, like I do, that we're going to be persecuted.
Right.
It's literally in black and white, and we should expect it. So I don't think we overreact to it, certainly. But I do think we can point out the hypocrisy of it to say, well, you didn't have a trans activist playing Muhammad grinding Buddha.
Right.
Right? Well, okay, so if you're not going to do that because it's politically incorrect, why is this not?
Why was this the choice of target?
I forget what Christian philosopher says this, but they say something along the lines of, I know Christianity is true because we're the ones they hate.
Oh, it sounds like a C.S. Lewis, but I don't know whether it was.
But it does Bonhoeffer, possibly.
So, I just thought we kind of played into the part. Plus, I think Christians, this is more of a pastoral question, we just so easily allow ourselves to lose our peace and joy. And, you know, if you were criticizing it and just saying, hey, you know, this is inappropriate, this is not what I expected to see at the Olympics, I wish they'd do better, please do better in the future, that's one thing. But it was so ragey, you know, it was so angry. And, you know, I just saw so many people I thought were spent their whole weekend miserable because of one section of a 4-hour art piece, you know. And yeah. I thought, man, that's just sad. I wish better for you, you know, like.
I think our pastor did a great job of just addressing it, but without making it into this rage thing. Because you're right. You can't lose the overall vision of why we exist and what we're here for, and the peace and the joy that Christ offers. And so what you have to walk away with going, there are people that are going to not like us. There are people that are going to actively, work against us and love them.
And what I say to me all the time is I tell myself, I say, Andrew, stop being surprised when lost people act like lost people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's what, you know, that's not a surprise. That's the norm, right? So, Blake, any final thoughts before we move on?
No, I just love watching Katie Ledecky.
Oh, she is amazing.
I love watching
and
Americans
Simone
be
Biles
good at things.
And
any sport where Americans are good at things, that's what I want to watch.
Isn't it? So there are some sports where I love the outstanding performance, and I will watch it as long as it's outstanding.
Correct.
I actually think of like track and field in that regard, and I think of like skating in the Winter Olympics.
I can't wait. My son and I cannot wait for track and field because our women's U.S. team. Oh, yeah.
But
awesome.
Usually when I'm watching my 4.5 hours at night on Fast Forward, and I'm skipping to the parts where the Americans in the lead, and I'm watching that. And that's fun, you know, and then, you know, the rest of it's just sort of there. So I actually agree with you about that.
Mine's the stories. It's the individual athletic stories.
You do have to get a little invested in the drama of it.
Read up on the people, because as you start reading up, you're like, oh, man, you know.
People who are not even, you know, like we talked about earlier, the Turkish pistol. Jobs so they can be on the women's rugby team.
Yep. Oh, yeah. All that.
One quick thing on the Olympics. I have not seen a lot of it, but the parts I have seen I did not enjoy. I seem to be the only one that's not a Snoop Dogg fan.
I haven't seen it.
Everybody else seems to be like, this is the best Olympics ever. Snoop Dogg is great. And I just don't get it.
Is he's narrating stuff?
Yeah, he's semi-commentating, being himself,
Kevin Hart, Keenan Williams, I can't remember who it is now. They do a show as well, and it's a lot of trying to make jokes and make it funny, and they just miss a lot. I think it's just bad comedy. It's not so much.
Well, I know for a fact that there are loads of people who listen, because I was talking with some of them on the bus yesterday to the Pascagoula, who they think they love it, absolutely love it. And I'm like, okay. I mean, not everything's got to be for everybody, you know.
Al Michaels is AI as well, so that's a whole other story too.
Well, come back to the wrap here in just a second. Austin's here for John with Traffic on the Fives. Austin?
This traffic update is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app, and you can learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Again, that is ProgressiveCommercial.com there. If you're traveling northbound on Pensacola Boulevard, that's Highway 29, approaching Burgess Road, we do have some backups there, and we also have some if you're traveling eastbound on 9 Mile Road towards Highway 29 as well. Outside of those couple spots, though, there's not much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your Traffic on the Fives. Andrew?
I just want to make sure we don't go the whole show without mentioning it. The Turkish pistol shooter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Hand in the pocket, no special eye or ear protection.
52-year-old, like, dad, just like,
off the shelf,
yeah.
You know, cheapest version of the pistol. And he just pop, pop, pop.
Incredible.
And everybody, yeah. And then on the silver medalist podium, when he says what?
Yeah, he says, hey, I want my dog back. He's actually speaking to his
ex-wife.
Yeah. Who gets his dog? I was like, dude,
this guy is
the saltiest divorcee ever.
He's my Gen X hero, you know. they're doing the side by side of he's Gen X and all of the people with their super specific gear of the Gen Z. You know, it's kind of no offense, Blake. Okay, so you're going to law school. I want to make sure I ask you this question before we run out of time. We always run out of time. President Biden is now lame ducking and saying, let's do these constitutional reforms for the Supreme Court. Let's, you know, put in a code of ethics. Let's overturn by constitutional amendment the decision that the president is not subject to being charged for using his office to do crimes within his core powers. And to me, the more significant of all three is the 18-year term limits on a rotating basis. So every president gets two nominees. I love the latter. I'm probably okay with the other two, but I'm curious what you think going to law school.
You love the term limits?
I love the 18-year rotating terms, yes. I've always advocated for that for
a long
time.
Well, let's talk about what that would mean if that happened today. It would mean two conservative justices, Roberts and Alito, need to leave the court immediately.
Well, the how we get there, I think, is that's a very good question. Yeah. The how we get to that, yes.
Well, it'll never happen, so we'll never have to discuss
it. But I also agree. It's never going to happen.
Here's the thing. For the last 100 years, the court has been controlled by progressives more often than conservatives.
Correct.
Now, all of a sudden, we have a conservative Supreme Court, and the Democrats are losing their minds. Mm-hmm. Yep. We need to change the court. We need to pack the court. We need to totally reform the court. And constantly, Democrats will be like, oh, Republicans hate democracy. They're the party that's attacking democracy. And the second Democrats lose anything, all of a sudden, it's time to rewrite the norms, change the system.
Or change their candidate.
These other guys, they hate democracy. But let's switch our nominee out and let's totally change the Supreme Court.
Somebody who was polling in the single digits dropped out before there was a primary and nobody ever voted for that person?
That person.
Okay. So let me push back a little, okay? The reason I like the 18-year terms staggered so that each president gets two is so that each president gets two. We've turned the Supreme Court into the battle so that we vote for president so we can get Supreme Court outcomes because the court handles cases they shouldn't be handling. And as a result, when you retire, when you get sick, you wait out a president, all of that stuff, would be evened out, in my opinion, to some degree, if every president knew on the odd years I'm going to get a nominee. I agree with you. Long-serving justices, you know, tend to be more stable and knowledgeable. But then again, they get to be elderly, and then they're waiting out the presidential term, and that's not good either. I'm not saying it because I'm a liberal who's upset that finally the conservatives. I like the composition of the court, but I think this is a better system.
Well, I would say this. I take DeSantis's challenge, and I said that would work for me. If we could term limit everybody,
oh yeah,
then let's talk about it. Otherwise, if you can get, if you in Congress can have your job for as long as you want, but now all of a sudden you need to start
have to switch out,
then we have problems. And that's the thing is, it becomes, this is what, like you said, this is what we want, and so because we want it, it's right. But we don't want term limits on congressional leaders, or because, right, well, we don't want that, so that's wrong. But this is right.
This slice of the system gives us an outcome we like. This correct other slice of that same system gives an outcome we don't like, so let's change that slice. So, Blake, would you trade the 18-year term limits and 2 years staggered if, in trade, you got term limits for everybody in D.C., for senators and House also?
Absolutely make that trade. I'd trade a kidney to get term limits in Congress.
So, not sure that was in the offer, but, you know.
I'd give a lung.
Can I just say, I am so tired of candidates and or elected officials, and I'm thinking of several at the moment without naming any names, who I'm for term limits, but keep running and say, well, the rules allow me to keep running, to which I say, lead by example. If you really believe term limits, then stop after 8 years. And
no, we need another 30 years of the Gates family.
Well, or, you know, and we have county commissioner, you know, we have, like, yeah, in Escambia County, we've got, you know, 12 and 8 for the county commission. They're all running for re-election. And,
well, I know Michelle Salzman, I think they tried to introduce that into Florida legislature, and it didn't make it.
That's right,
through,
couldn't get it across
still,
the finish line.
I think
line.
That's still an option. I think they're still trying to do term limits pretty much across all
but
state boards.
Even if it gets implemented, it will not affect sitting commissioners. It'll start at zero, and by that time, right, they'd be there for 20 or 24 years if they all get re-elected. And, again, it's not... it's not about particular people. It's about the concept of liking there to be some turnover in these, because the result, yeah, we're getting, you know, if you could reasonably believe that these were always the best people, that'd be one thing. But the name recognition benefit and the funding benefit, especially at the federal offices, is just, oh, yeah, absurd.
And just the disconnect that comes, especially for those federal offices where you're living in D.C. for decades now, yes, at a, yeah, time and not living.
Which is different
state
than the commissioners who are all living here, you know.
And have to face the people every single,
right,
week.
And see,
right,
them in the, yeah, Publix or, you know, at the car wash or whatever.
And not have, you know, trying to deal with the media and trying to deal with the, you know, impressing the world or impressing the nation.
Right.
So that I can eventually possibly move into another, you know, federal office, albeit by appointment or by election. And there's a lot of pressure there for a, you know, senator, congressman of a state to not really reconnect with their people.
Well, and even like the party pressure of, you know, having to go fundraise or whatever, you know, which, I mean, that, all of that, I totally agree. The other news with the Biden administration right now anyway is, of course, the prisoner swap. I'm glad to have the unjustly jailed people home. Mm-hmm. I think we gave up too much to get them.
Listen, 20 spies for the few people we got is a lot. I'm glad that they're coming.
Including
home.
A murderer.
Yeah, including a murderer.
You know, a political,
yeah,
assassin.
A hitman, yeah. It's going back to politics. Politics is optics. Nothing more, nothing less. And once you want it, the optic is Biden, Harris, tarmac, free,
right,
people.
Right.
That's the optic.
Hugs and families, and you don't see the murder victim. You don't see the murderer going back to Russia. You don't see who we gave up. You don't even know the names of some of these other people that
we gave up. Real criminals for fake criminals.
Right. And we condemn them being unjustly, you know, charged, but we've now incentivized that behavior, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any American should be going to Russia right now. It seems unwise.
Oh, yeah, that line where he said, you know, don't you worry about the future, how are you going to make sure to keep... And he's like, well, I just don't think you should go to dangerous places. For all of my life, yeah, I've had the basic, maybe it's naive or arrogant, belief that if you're an American... because you're an American, right, privilege that is,
yep,
I can go somewhere and my country will make it that I'm safe.
Yep.
And that's just not true anymore.
It is not. Unfortunately,
no, that's certainly not true after, no, Afghanistan.
Right.
Absolutely,
right,
not. Israel. Not with this administration, not with which makes terrible deals all the time.
You mean the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
Yeah.
It is true. And you there's nothing that we could do. I was planning to go to Israel, and that's all been shot. You know, there's no chance of it. I don't think they started canceling flights into Israel now. And you're going.
Do you think that's appropriate at this point? Because I'll tell you, like when we went like 20 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever it was, all of my friends like, how? You're going to Israel? It's so dangerous. And you get there and you're like, there's nothing happening. Now, granted, there's right now more things happening. My thought is actually Israel's probably, for the general population, not much different than it's been for decades.
I would agree with that, but the narrative is, you know, Israel is a terrible, you know, place that no one ever wants to go, and please stop going there so you can stop supporting their war.
I feel like the canceling of flights is not really based on reason. That's more based on optics and fear and...
No, well, what I feel like a lot of people, though, don't realize about just the danger that Israel's in right now. In terms of, like, they have a war on both fronts, north and south. There are hundreds of thousands of Israelis who have been evacuated from huge swaths of the north because of Hezbollah's rockets.
Yeah.
And with just the escalating tensions, I don't think people realize that Hezbollah does have rockets that can reach all the way to Tel Aviv. Like, I wouldn't advise going there right now. And it's just a very precarious situation for them, largely driven by the Obama administration and Biden giving blank checks to Iran,
right,
which is funding this entire thing, and we'll never get any
resolution. It's a two-front war now. It could be a three-front war.
They're not developing nuclear weapons. Remember that, right? Yeah. They're not. There's no
war. I like Snarky Craig. Snarky Craig doesn't show up all that often. I like Snarky Craig. We're talking to Blake Barkley and Craig Heinzman here for The Wrap. Austin's got traffic on the fives.
This traffic update is brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now called for pickup. You can call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day and can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Looking at the roads here, it's just if you're traveling southbound on Mobile Highway approaching Blue Angel Parkway, but even that shouldn't hold you up for too long. Outside of that, everything else is looking about as smooth as it can at this hour. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives, Andrew.
What was that? As smooth as it can.
I mean, morning traffic, sometimes it picks up a little bit in some areas, but it's not looking too bad right now.
So thank you for expanding my linguistic horizons. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Former President Trump.
Crickets.
There's so much to talk about. But
crickets.
What'd you say? Yeah. The ambush interview about race in front of the National Association of Black Journalists. He did step in it and say stupid things, but he was pushed into it too, right?
Oh, well, I mean, the first journalist, I forget what her name is, something
the
Scott.
The ABC girl,
ABC.
Came out right at the gate. Like he said, not even a hello. Not even a hello, how are you? Straight asking a dishonest question that at the time, that question answered correctly, rightly, do not accept the framework of these faux journalists who are in the tank for the other party. I think the bigger thing to discuss about this is that Kamala Harris hasn't held a press conference since she's become the nominee. Last night at the tarmac, she gave the only unscripted answer to a question she's been given, and it was a word salad because that's all she's
that's what she does. Yeah, sure.
And just
it's about the passage of time.
We had three brief glorious weeks when the press was trying to neuter Joe Biden and successfully accomplish that, where they treated a Democrat like they do a Republican.
Yeah,
and now
briefly,
we're back into Obama territory where she's a hero.
Look at all this
she's
money.
Glorious.
Yeah. Well, and Biden is now, he went from the pariah to basically George Washington sacrificing himself for the country. You
know, right. Like, he's a hero and here's his legacy and all that. But as a strategic matter, okay, she's only doing rallies. Okay. She's got the twerking dancers behind her to support her in Atlanta, and people who are going to cheer her in Raw, although they did leave when she started talking. That was kind of funny to me. She's not doing press conferences. Is she smart? I mean, politically, if you know your candidate can't do something that's going to make them look bad, you keep them from doing that, right?
I mean, the easiest job in America is being a Democratic press secretary. So... Yeah, sure. She's doing what she's supposed to do.
That's awesome. Work one half of a day per month.
Pretty easy.
I think we should just call a show.
This is too funny. Dog.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right. And I think for right now it works. For right now it works. It will not work, I would say, in about 2 weeks.
You hope.
We hope. Now, you're right. The media is going to try to push the narrative. She's the greatest thing ever.
I mean, all she's got to do is read for the DNC.
Well, and that's going to be, you thought the, if you thought the RNC was one thing, the DNC is going to be another. You'll be there.
Blake, good luck at law school, man.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.